Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
I was standing there worshiping God. I knew I had to preach. I don't have a very strong voice. And so I thought to myself, well, maybe the devil whispered to me, maybe you should cut back a little bit on your worship. But you know what? You can't do that. Regardless, when you hear that music, when you get that spirit, you can't come back on something that you owe God, regardless of what you have to do coming up. Amen? You give God your best effort every single time. And I had to remind myself of that. Even standing there worshiping, I owe him my best effort because he gave us his best effort at Calvary's cross. Yeah. Amen goes right there. Amen. I want to thank God for the opportunity to minister to you on this morning. Thank God for my pastor, Pastor Marquez Ball. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. You guys know me. I love worshiping God. I love delivering His word. I love being used by God. And I'm thankful for another opportunity to do so on this morning. I believe that we should get to the word because it's the word that is most important. It's the word that nourishes us spiritually, that keeps us going when we fall short, when we lack the spiritual energy to go to move forward. When we go back into this word, we get strength to run on and see what the end's going to be. Amen. If you have your Bible, won't you turn to John chapter 11? When we start at verse 38, and I'll be reading from verses 44. If you're able to stand, won't you stand for the reading of God's word? Again, that's John chapter 11, verses 38 through 44. Once you have it, won't you say amen? I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. It reads as follows. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Most gracious and wise Heavenly Father, it's once again that I stand to deliver your word. Father, I ask that you would hide me, that your people wouldn't see me, but that they would see all of you. Let me decrease that you might increase. And I will give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. God, I've studied and prepared to deliver your word. I pray that you will prepare the hearts, the minds, the souls, and our very spirits to receive it, God, including me. Let me be the first partaker of this fruit, God, as I deliver it to your people. It's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. You can take your seat. The title of our scripture this morning, brothers and sisters, is the Lazarus Effect. That is the Lazarus Effect. Most, if not all of us in here, have been gainfully employed at one time or another in our lives. Most of us are either currently employed, employ others through our own companies and businesses, or we're currently looking for employment. We know that outside of our families, either at work where we're employed, or at church where we're active in ministry, that relationships routinely develop. I'm not talking about romantic relationships right now, though they tend to occur as well. I'm talking about common relationships between two or more people, sometimes groups of people at work or in ministry. It's basic human nature. God made us that way. We were built to connect. God created us to connect and cultured us to connect with other human beings in this life. The quote-unquote and so-called American independent spirit is a fallacy of our enemy, the devil. It may sound good. It may be plausible, maybe even possible. It may look good to you. For some of us, being independent may make us boast. It may boost our egos. The concept of independent thought, independent actions, and independent decisions may swell both our heart and our head with pride, but it's not biblical. It might seem like going it alone is the right path, but it's not biblical. Our biblical model isn't a single entity, but a triune Godhead. Our triune Godhead consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are connected to one another as God, who are you to stand alone? What's more, you've got to be smart enough to recognize when the devil is attempting to isolate you from the people that you're supposed to be connected to. You're not supposed to be connected from the people that love you, and they're not supposed to be disconnected from you. The enemy always attempts to keep you disconnected, especially after a loss. All of Scripture screams out at us to stay connected to one another as believers, in spite of any and all difficult times that we may go through. Our Bible tells us that Moses was connected to his brother Aaron. Our Bible tells us that Adam was connected to Eve. It says that Abraham was connected to Sarah, Isaac to Rebecca, Jacob to Esau, Naomi to Ruth, and Mordecai to Esther. Scripture tells us that Joseph was connected to Mary, that the archangel Michael is connected to the archangel Gabriel, that Joseph is connected to Benjamin and Rachel to Leah, the tree of life to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. In fact, it says that Christ was connected to the crucifixion, if you read it right. We're supposed to be connected to one another. We're supposed to be together. In our text today, we find our own Savior, the Lord Jesus, crying. Why? Because he was connected to our text lead character, Lazarus. In John chapter 11, verse 35, which is the shortest verse in all of Scripture, it reads as follows. It says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept because he was connected to Lazarus. Lazarus was the one whom the Bible says that Jesus loved. Jesus was connected to Lazarus just as the Scripture commands you and I to be connected to one another. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourself. Amen? Our first point today states the following. Jesus will set you up just to show himself off. Here is how he does it. Verse 6 of chapter John 11 says this. When Jesus had heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed an additional 2 days in the town that he was in. Jesus finally got to the place where Lazarus had died. The scripture says that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Here's how God will set you up just to show himself off. He always uses time to do so. Have you ever wondered why God chooses to delay bringing about certain things in your life? Hasn't it caused you frustration? Hasn't it made you both wonder and unfortunately wander away from the faith as well? I've done that myself. It certainly has in my life. God's delay has caused each of us to question him. God's delay has caused us to doubt whether he cares for us the way that he says that he does. Am I right about it? When we don't get what we want, when we want it, exactly as we prayed for it and asked for it, we ask ourselves certain questions about God. God, didn't you hear my prayer? Does God really love me in spite of what he did in Calvary? Does God understand what I'm going through? Can God tell that I'm in dire straits? God, don't you see me down here? I thought you said that you'd never leave me nor forsake me. I thought you cared about me, God. I thought you were on my side. It's what Martha was talking about in verse 32 of our text when she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In other words, Martha's heart was crying out, Jesus, I thought you loved my brother. Jesus, I thought you cared about our family. Jesus, where were you? My brother Lazarus has died, and I sent for you days ago. Where have you been, God? Jesus' response in verse 40 tells us that he had set Martha up just to show himself off. God. Our God is a good God, amen? Yeah. He said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? He used time to set Martha up. He used time to show himself off by revealing the glory of God. How did he do it? Here's how. He took long enough to get there that the body began to decompose. No man could take credit for not only bringing Lazarus back to life, but for doing so after he began to decompose. No magicians in the town could do it. No sorcerers in the town could do it. No wise men in the town could claim victory for doing it. Only God could get the victory. God set her up just to show himself off. That's God's biblical model. It's his modus operandi. How do you know? He's done it before. The woman with the issue of blood, suffering for 12 long years. Jesus' earthly ministry lasted only 3.5 years. Why didn't God come soon? Didn't he see her suffering when he was in heaven before he entered time? Why didn't God come when the woman was bleeding out in year 4? Why didn't God come when the woman was on her 5th doctor in year 6? Why didn't the Lord come when a woman was going from town to town in year 9? Huh? Why didn't the Lord come before the woman had used up all her financial resources trying to get well in year 12? Why did God delay? Because God was setting her up just to show himself off. That way only God could get the glory. No doctor could get the glory in his gift, the glory in his skills after 12 years of failure. No nurse practitioner could get puffed up over her accomplishments after 12 years of struggle. No OBGYN could claim to be the best specialist in the region when his patient was on public display and his ineptitude was clear because he could not heal. Only God could do it. God came at the appointed time for the woman with the issue of blood. He came at the appointed time for Lazarus, and he's here at the appointed time for you and for me. What is it in your life that you're asking God to do, but you want the credit for? Be careful. Is God delaying because you want to take partial credit and not give him all the glory? Stop it, or he'll set you up. What is it that you want God to start, but you want to finish so you can say you had a measure of success on your own? Stop it, or he'll set you up. Life with God isn't a 9th grade algebra test. You don't get partial credit. Make up your mind to give God all of the credit. Make up your mind to give God all of the glory from start to finish. Praise him in advance. Thank him before you get what you're asking him for. Get rid of your pride. Get rid of your ego. And set yourself up for his righteousness and not your own. Then God will do for you what he did for Lazarus. Then God will do for you what he did for the woman with the issue of blood. He will set you up just to show himself off. Amen? Amen. Saints, our second point is the following. God is fully yours. Here's what I'm talking about. Although this point will be rather brief, it will be a blessing to you if you catch it. In our text, we find that God causes a delay. Would you agree?
Yes.
However, what the text neither suggests nor states is that God took a detour on his way to see about Lazarus. Nowhere in our selected verses from 38 through 44 does it say that Jesus went somewhere else prior to going to see about Lazarus. Yes, we know that he waited 2 days prior to departing, but it doesn't say anywhere that Jesus went to check on pastors prior to going to check on Lazarus. It's not recorded anywhere from verses 1 through 44 that God didn't love someone more than he loved Lazarus. God loved Lazarus and he loves you. Jesus' care for Lazarus wasn't dependent upon Lazarus' status in life. His love wasn't dependent upon his performance on his job. Jesus' concern for Lazarus wasn't dependent upon his appearance. Jesus didn't go to see someone of high societal standing and then get to Lazarus when he could. Jesus went to Lazarus as soon as he was able to, when he made up his mind to do so. He didn't go check on the middle class before he went to check on the working class. He didn't go see Luke before he went to see Lazarus. He didn't go see someone else before he went to Lazarus. That's not what the scripture says. It says after a two-day delay, he departed and arrived without detour. That's good news, brothers and sisters. Because God will do for us the same thing he did for Lazarus. He'll come straight to us when we're in our time of need. He's got a direct flight when we're in our want. Jesus doesn't have a pecking order when it comes to taking care of his people. In fact, the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of people. God is fully yours today. He'll come and see about you. There are no degrees of salvation. You're either saved or you're not. Jesus is either fully your Savior or he is not. This is very important because the devil has made some of us believe that we are less important to God than others are in the church. He'll have you believe that pastors are more important than those who are parishioners. He'll make you think that the pulpit is more important than the pew. Yeah. It's not so, saints.
Yeah.
Just as Jesus was fully belonged to Lazarus, so he fully belongs to you today.
Yeah.
Jesus is fully your Savior.
Uh-huh.
Jesus is fully your deliverer.
Yeah.
He's never going to be more your Savior in the future than he is your Savior right now.
Yeah.
He's not going to get any better at being your healer.
Uh-huh.
He's fully your healer right now.
Uh-huh.
He's not going to grow into being your deliverer. God doesn't have to take classes to deliver you. He can do it right now. Jesus is never going to be more your Lord than he is your Lord right now. Jesus was the Lord of Lazarus, and he's your Lord right now. God is fully yours. He'll come see about you even now. He'll come see about you wherever you are. He's fully yours. He wants to touch your life. Are you available to be touched? He wants to touch your heart. Have you made it available to him? Have you opened it up and said, God, come in and pull yourself out into me.
Uh-huh.
Amen? Amen. God is fully yours. He went to see Lazarus. He'll visit you too. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are at the third point in this sermon. Plan B. Life is all about how you handle plan B. In life, we all encounter struggles, hardships, heartaches, things of that nature. And sometimes that which we hope would happen, that which we pray would happen, doesn't happen right away. Amen? Plan B in our lives is the following. It is a plan of response after our initial plan doesn't quite turn out right. Plan B is what Mary and Martha must have been working on after they sent for Jesus in our text. When Lazarus first became ill, but God didn't show up at their expected time. Plan A was when Lazarus was ill and they sent for God, Jesus was going to show up and take care of everything, but that didn't occur. So they had to move on to Plan B. Plan B is what we do in our lives when things don't go as planned. When Lazarus first became sick in verse 1, John chapter 11, although Mary and Martha couldn't heal Lazarus themselves, they knew who the healer was. Prior experience of Jesus led them to believe that surely God would heal their brother Lazarus. After all, they'd seen him heal the blind, they'd seen him heal the lame, they'd seen him heal the deaf, and all manner of other sicknesses and diseases. What was their first plan of action? Send for Jesus. Lazarus is sick. After they sent for him, I'm certain that the word got back to them. Jesus had been told of their brother's condition. Surely Lazarus would live and not die. Surely they would soon be celebrating the healing of their brother without him having to die. Jesus didn't come in their time, and Lazarus ended up dying. Well, on to plan B. Most of life is about how well you handle plan B. They prepared the body for burial, wrapping it in linen. They prepared the cave as a tomb. They had the funeral service and committed the body to the grave. Their plan B didn't include lashing out at life or lashing out at others because their brother had died. Their plan B didn't include blaming someone else for their failures and their faults. Plan B didn't include belittling someone else or retreating from life because they didn't get what they wanted. Life is all about how you handle plan B. Just look at the rewards Mary and Martha got for handling plan B the right way. They were previously known to have attended to the needs of Jesus during a period of rest, with Mary having anointed him with ointment and washing his feet with her hair. But now, after plan B of Lazarus, at the end of Jesus' life, they were there again, taking care of the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We all need a plan B in life. Mama's not going to live forever. Will you be ready to make it thereafter? What's your plan B? If they start laying off on your job tomorrow, what's your plan B? Are you going to point your finger at God and declare that he's not sovereign because you got laid off? What's your plan B? If your marriage falls apart because of bad choices, should God not be praised because of who he is and what he has done? What's your plan B? If promotion goes to someone else in your job, are you going to sulk or start anew? We all have to have a plan B. Yeah. Joseph developed a plan B after he was sold into slavery. Paul developed a plan B after he was blinded on a Damascus road. Naomi developed a plan B after losing her husband and sons. Ruth told Naomi the following: will you go? I will go. And will you stay? I will stay. How many of you like Mary? How many of you like Martha have a plan B for the hardships of life? If you don't develop one, you need to develop one. If you have one, let me add to your plan. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Add that to your plan B. Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. Add that to your plan B. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not look around anxiously, for I am God. I will strengthen you. Yeah. Add that to your plan B. Yeah. Psalms 55:22. Yeah. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. Yeah. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Yeah. That's your plan B. Yeah. You want to know what the Lazarus effect is? Here it is. This will tie all three points together for you. The Lazarus effect is how you deal with life after loss. Mary and Martha lost their brother Lazarus, but they still dealt with life appropriately. They didn't break down, they didn't fold up, pack up their crayons, cookies, and sheets, and go inside their room to never come out and live again. The Lazarus effect is the effect measured by how one deals with life after suffering an immense loss in life. Recently, some of our brothers and sisters in the Uplift Church lost some loved ones. But how many of you know you still got to come out to worship? How many of you know that God is still worthy of all praise, glory, and honor? How many of you know that after loss, you still got to live? What do you do after loss? How do you position yourself in life after loss? I'll close with this. Lazarus came forth 4 days after death. What needs to come forth in your life? 4 days after death, what dreams got deferred in your life which now need to be brought forth? That's the Lazarus effect. Bring those dreams forth. What relationships rotted away that now need to be renewed? The Lazarus effect says, after suffering the loss of the relationship, renew it and bring it forth stronger than it was before. What goals got away from you in life? What desires went dormant? What ideas were you talked out of by well-meaning people but not very spirited people? Amen? Use the Lazarus effect to bring those ideas to bear on your life so that you might live a better life. What promotion did you not get? Promotions don't go away. If you don't apply, they simply go to other people. The Lazarus effect says, bring those promotions forth. Lazarus effect, life after loss. Let us pray. Most gracious and wise Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time of preaching, for the preaching hour. I lift it up to you, God, and I say thank you. God, it's, in all transparency, it's not a hard, it's not an easy message to preach, God. But I thank you that you gave it to you, God, that you presented it to deliver to your people. I pray, God, that this word would stay in our hearts, that it would abide forever, that we might live better because of it. God, we know that our enemy, the devil, would try and pluck it and steal it out of our lives. But God, I pray that this word will root deeply within our hearts, within our spirits, our minds, and our souls, God. Father, bring it back to remembrance when we have tough times, when we have hard times, God. Knowing that just as Lazarus came forth after 4 days, God, there are some dreams, there are some hopes, there are some desires in our life which can also come forth, God. And we'll be so careful as to give that name the glory, the honor, and the praise. Amen. Amen. Let us give God a hand clap and praise for the word. How many of you know that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life? If there's anyone in here who does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, as the Lord that pardons your sins, now is the time for you to give your life to Christ. God can do all things that fail, and he's not a man that he will lie. He can take you from where you are all the way to heaven. And I know that I want to spend eternity with God in heaven. Amen. It's why he shed his blood at Calvary. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, we ask that you receive him right now. I ask that everyone will stand all over the building. You don't have to come down front to receive Jesus. You can receive Jesus right where you stand. If you can't stand, you can receive Jesus right where you sit. All you have to do is believe that he died on Calvary's cross. And on the third day, he was raised again to give you salvation, to bring you back into right relationship with the Father in heaven. If you believe that and confess with your mouth these words, you shall be saved. God, I am a sinner. But I found out about Jesus today. And I'm thankful for the blood he shed for me. I believe that he died on Calvary's cross. And that he was raised with all power on the third day. And God, because I believe that in my heart, and I confess it with my mouth, I know that I am saved. Amen. Let us give God a hand clap of praise for someone who's been given a life to God. You never want to take for granted an opportunity to extend the offer of salvation. People come in and visit, sit beside you, shake your hand, and they look the part, but they might not have a beat within their heart. Amen. Amen. We have a few things left to do in the service. We're going to hand the service back over into the hands of our pastor. We're going to take communion. And we're going to be dismissed here after. We give God a hand clap of praise. Let's give God a hand clap of praise.
Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Listen. We've been blessed with a great word, gladness, respect, how to deal with loss. I gave us a challenge. It simply said this: what are some things in essence that have died, maybe goals, dreams, ambition, that may need to come back for you? Maybe there's someone here right now, you know, that was meant for you. You know that God has placed something in your heart, a desire in your heart, a goal for you, but you've been talked out of by well-meaning people that weren't that spiritual. Or maybe there's something else that has just went away in your life. Maybe you've experienced loss of a loved one, and you're saying, I need God to strengthen me through that. I need to be able to have a plan B in my life. Maybe you hear my brother, my sister, and you're standing in need of prayer. Want to pray with you. Want to pray for you. Maybe you know someone else that's going through a difficult time in their life. Someone else that has experienced loss. Maybe the loss of a job, loss of a house, loss of a car. And you're praying, God, I pray that you would strengthen them through it, even to deal with the plan B. Sometimes we only have plan A, but life makes you develop a plan B. Maybe there's someone right now, that's where you are in life. Plan B was not on my radar, but I had to make it up with what was left over. God, help me get through with plan B. If that's you, my brother, my sister.